Hello, lovelies. Before this episode gets started, I just want to give a quick little correction for last week's episode. At one point, I said Jose Perez Sanchez. I'm not sure why Sanchez came out of my fucking mouth. That was not his name. It was Jose Perez Silva, as I said throughout the rest of the episode. So yeah, don't know where Sanchez came from. Sorry about that. And now I need to give a correction for the episode you're about to listen to. At one point, I talk about them finding her body near a trail, and I say it was found 20 minutes away, which makes no sense. It was 20 meters. The body was less than 20 meters from the trail. Forgive me, I'm an American. I'm not used to saying meters. That's bullshit. I don't know why I said minutes. But yeah, 20 meters, not 20 minutes. Silva, not Sanchez. So sorry. Enjoy the episode. Bye. Hello, lovelies. I'm Valeria, and this is Have Murder, Will Travel. Whoop, whoop. Guys, episode 10. We've entered double digits. Oh, yeah. Glad you guys have stuck around this long. And before you know it, we'll be in the triple digits. Hell yeah. So the last 2 weeks, we did some pretty gnarly serial killers. We're not going to do a serial killer this week. I'm over that for a little bit. This week, we're just going to talk about one good old-fashioned murder. This week, we are going to Taiwan, and we are going to be talking about the murder of Poon Huing. Her murder, I think I broke for a second. Her murder is awful, and we are, of course, going to discuss the murder, but we're also going to be discussing all the legal and political rigmarole that has followed. There have been protests and a lot of blaming, and unfortunately, no justice to this day. The reasons are very complicated, and we will get into them a little later, but the backdrop of this case involves Taiwan, where the murders took place, Hong Kong, where the murderer and victim lived, and China, a country that claims sovereignty over both of them. Don't worry if you didn't pay attention in history class. I'm going to fill you all in. First, we're going to discuss Poon Huing's tragic death. On February 17th, 2018, a man left the Purple Garden Hotel in Taiwan pulling a pink suitcase behind him. CCTV footage shows he then boarded the subway, still dragging the pink suitcase. He rode the subway for 40 minutes and dumped the contents of the suitcase. That man was 19-year-old Chen Tongha Kai, and in that suitcase was the body of his pregnant girlfriend, 20-year-old Poon Huing. After dumping her body, Chan then used her debit card to withdraw money from her account. He was planning on going shopping, but he changed his mind and flew home alone. This guy just flew home and went about his fucking life. Don't worry, he didn't forget about Poon, though. Oh, no, 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 no. He's a loving guy, okay? He remembered her so well that he withdrew more money from her account. He withdrew money 3 more times. Can you fucking imagine? You murder someone and then just casually go about your life. And oh yeah, you let the murder victim finance your lifestyle. Like, I already hate this guy and we're just getting started. At 1:21 a.m. on February 17th, Poon messaged her mother on WhatsApp, which is a very popular app over there. She messaged her mother to tell her she'd be home later that day. Obviously, she never arrived home. Her parents were concerned, but she was an adult, so they didn't immediately panic. They tried to reach out and find out where she was, but she never answered them. Her parents finally reported her missing on March 5th. Somehow, they got copies of Chan's departure and arrival cards for Hong Kong, and this told them what hotel the couple had stayed at, the Purple Garden Hotel. I don't know how they managed to get a copy of his travel records. And on the one hand, I'm like, what an invasion of privacy. But in this case, I'm like, that's right, you go figure out how he murdered your daughter. Fucker. So they know what hotel they were at. So Poon's father flew to Taiwan to find her. I'm like, yes, daddy, go. He filed a police report with the authorities in Taipei. Police took the surveillance video from the hotel. The footage showed the couple arriving back at the hotel on February 16th, but then only Chan left the next day, dragging that pink suitcase. The police in Taiwan obviously know something's up, right? People don't just enter rooms and never leave. They call the cops in Hong Kong. Because remember, Chan's back in Hong Kong just living his life on his dead girlfriend's dime, pretending like he didn't murder her. Hong Kong police call him in for questioning on March 13th. They begin questioning him about Poon's whereabouts. And you know what this guy did? He didn't deny it. Nope. He just casually confessed that he murdered her. Even tells him where the body is. I'm sure these Hong Kong police were shook. Like, nobody thought she was dead. Or they sure didn't. They were like, okay, Taiwan wants us to ask him about her. Ask him. And then he's just like, oh, yeah. Yeah, I definitely murdered her. Here's where her body is. I'm sorry, what? So that same day, after a massive 3-hour search, like it was pretty massive, they said there were about 30 police officers out searching this area where he said he put the body. They did find her decomposing body in the thickets near a river. Her decomposing body, now mind you, it's been almost a month because this is March 13th and she was murdered on February 17th. I just forgot. 19th? Oh no, I gotta look back through my notes. I'm sorry. February 17th. Yes. Okay, I was right. And then this is March 13th. So yeah, it's been almost a month. I'm sure the body was pretty badly decomposed at that point. He had actually put her body only about 20 minutes from a popular trail. So my initial question was, nobody noticed her? Or, I'm sorry, nobody smelled the decomposing body? Because there are odors with death. Well, other people wondered that as well. But it actually happens that this trail is near a river, and this river is actually known to kind of flood up onto the trail after heavy rains, and it usually leaves behind a lot of dead fish. I'm talking like up to 10,000 dead fish at times. So these shores often smelled like death and decay. A lot of people, unfortunately, had smelled her body as it decomposed, but they all thought it was dead fish, so nobody bothered to look. I feel so bad if I'd used that trail while her body was there. Not that anyone who used that trail did anything wrong. Just me personally, I'd be like, oh shit, I went for a bike ride. I smelled that. I thought it was dead fish. Spooky is what it is. You'd be like, I was right there. Part of me kind of wonders, because later on I'll let you know too, I kind of think he planned this. I don't think it was a, oops, then I murdered her. And I kind of wonder if he knew about the dead fish and the smell when he left her body there. To me, I'm kind of thinking he did, and that's why he left her at this location, which I hate to say it, but that's kind of smart. Evilly smart, but it's kind of smart. So let's look at this couple's relationship and see how this could have possibly gone so wrong. Poon Hewing and Chan Tongkai met in July of 2017 when they both worked for the same company. I know she was working part-time. I'm not as sure about him, but they were coworkers, and they began an intimate relationship a month later. I watched an interview with Hewing's mother, who is only known as Mrs. Poon. It was a very heartbreaking interview. You can easily find interviews with her. Just go online. They're very sad. But in the interview that I was watching, she said that she had only met Chan one time while him and her daughter were together. She said it was in a park and he didn't introduce himself to her. She actually called him sneaky. She said she told her daughter when they got home that she should look for a boy who was more polite and forthcoming. Basically, her parents were not fans of his the whole time. Sometimes parents just know, man. I don't blame her, though, because if my parents didn't like my boyfriend, I'd be like, well, good thing you're not dating him, and I'd sure keep on seeing him. So I see it from both sides. So by the end of the year, only a couple months into their relationship, Poon was pregnant. Isn't that sweet? Now Chan Tongkai, being a great boyfriend and dad-to-be, yeah, fucking right, He planned a romantic Valentine's Day getaway to Taiwan for the couple. He made all the arrangements and even paid for the trip. Again, I think he did this to make sure she was there so he could kill her. So on February 8th, Poon told her mother that she was going to Taiwan with a friend and would be back on the 17th. Poon did not tell her mother who she was going to Taiwan with, probably because she knows her mom doesn't like him and her mom would not have approved. So, I mean, I get that too. I'd be like, yeah, just a friend. Meanwhile, I'm like, I'm gonna go get me some in Taiwan. So they go on their trip and I guess it's going well. I don't know. And then on February 16th, the day before they were supposed to fly home, couple visited a night market. Apparently those night markets are super popular over there in Taiwan. Sounds fun. I love night markets. So they went to the night market and at this night market, they purchased the infamous pink suitcase. That suitcase, by the way, never found. So they go back to their hotel with their new suitcase. This is confirmed by video. This is the last time anyone other than Chan saw her. Now, this next part about what happened in the room is all according to him, because obviously we can't get her version of events. So let's just remember that as I'm telling you this, this is according to him. When they get back to the room, they argue over how to pack everything into the suitcase. I could totally see that as an argument because I am super particular about my packing. And if anyone tried to screw it up, I'd get pretty heated. So this part of the story, I'm like, okay, I'll buy that. So they argue about the suitcase, but they end up making up and they have sex. Okay, so far, story sounds pretty plausible. Another reason this sounds plausible is because after they had sex, that's when Poon messaged her mother. Remember, Mrs. Poon got that message at 1:21 from her daughter saying she'd be home later that day. So by all accounts, everything's going well at that point. Around 2 o'clock, the couple get into another argument. Now, it was during this argument that Poon told Chan that the baby she was carrying wasn't his and was in fact her ex-boyfriend's. She then showed him a video of her having sex with another man. He was pissed, naturally, so he reacted the way any rational human would. He smashed her head into the wall and started strangling her from behind. He says they struggled on the floor for 10 minutes until she was dead. Then he folded her body into the suitcase, packed up, and went to sleep. Because, you know, strangling someone is real tiring. I'm sorry, what? So she tells you this, even if that's fucking true that she told you this, why would you bash her head into the wall? And then just to go to sleep. That's the part that really kills me. These pieces of fucking garbage kill somebody and then they just go about their life like nothing happened. I hate it. Hate it. And honestly, this is the whole part of the story that I'm a little skeptical on. I mean, clearly they had some sort of argument or she wouldn't have ended up dead. I just don't know if I buy the whole, she showed me a sex video with another guy. Maybe she told him the thing about the baby not being his. I don't know. But showing him a video of her having sex with someone else, that just seems a little out there to me. I don't know. I just don't get why you'd be like, oh yeah, by the way, here's me fucking another dude. It just seems kind of weird. But let's even just pretend that that's true. You know, she said all these things. She showed him this video. Okay, I get it. You're upset. You find out your girlfriend's cheating. You're not the father of her unborn baby. I think anybody would be kind of sad, angry, grieving a little. But you still don't get to bash somebody's head into a wall. And you definitely don't strangle them for 10 minutes. If he had bashed her head into the wall and that was it, I could maybe understand that he was acting in a sort of passionate rage. Certainly wouldn't excuse the behavior. He'd still be an abusive piece of shit. But I could maybe somewhat understand it. I would say, okay, he lashed out, reacted in the moment. Reacted incorrectly, but I kind of see where you're coming from. But this asshole didn't stop there. No, he proceeded to strangle her for 10 minutes. And I'm sure it did take at least 10 minutes. Strangling takes a while. It's not like the movies where they just die quickly. That's not reacting in the moment. That's just being a murderous shit gibbon who thinks it's okay to kill people. And then, after she's dead, he doesn't call the authorities. Like, oh shit, what have I done? Oh no. No, he just folds her body into a suitcase like she's a shirt and then goes to fucking sleep. Like I said, the fact that he went to sleep right after, ooh, that's almost worse to me than what he did. Because clearly, He's not bothered by what happened. How do you do that and just go to sleep? What a piece of shit. The next morning, Chan casually dumped her belongings in a bunch of different garbage bins around the hotel. Oh, but don't worry, he kept her ATM card, her digital camera, and her iPhone. You know, he's a sentimental guy. This is when he took the suitcase with her body in it onto the subway, rode 40 minutes to the Zhuhai station. This is where he threw her body in the bushes by that trail, and then he just chucked the suitcase somewhere else. Then he withdrew money out of her account to go shopping. But then after all that, he was like, I'm not really in the mood to shop today. Maybe I'll just go home. So he went back home to Hong Kong. Like, I mean, glad you weren't in the mood to shop, but dude, you shouldn't have been in the mood to do anything. So this brings us to Hong Kong, where he's confessed, told them everything. So Hong Kong charges him with possession of stolen goods. The charges were later upped to 4 counts of money laundering. Because he was taking money out of her account, he still had her card on him when they arrested him, and that's profits from a murder, it's money laundering. He pled guilty to these charges and was sentenced to 29 months in jail. Because of good behavior, he was actually released on October 18th, 2019. He did live in a police safe house under protection for nearly 2 years, but left in 2021. So he's just out there in Hong Kong, free to live his life, no fucking consequences. Meanwhile, Taiwan wants him for murder and the unlawful disposal of a human body, so why hasn't that happened? This brings us to the political and legal section of this episode. There are a lot of moving parts in this case. The murder occurred in Taiwan, but Chan is in Hong Kong, where he lives. The thing about Hong Kong that you have to understand is that it is run as a semi-autonomous region of China, like Macau. Hong Kong used to be a British colony until they gave complete control to China in 1997. The deal with that was that Hong Kong got to kind of keep doing their own thing for at least 50 years. And I mean, Hong Kong really does do their own shit. They have their own government, their own currency, they issue their own passports. Their government and kind of legal system are run very similarly to the British legal system, since they were that colony, a British colony, that's what they were used to. But at the end of the day, Hong Kong is still part of China. China is a communist country. A lot of people in Hong Kong do not consider themselves Chinese, do not consider themselves communist. They want Hong Kong to kind of be separating from China even more. Meanwhile, some of the real high up authorities in the Hong Kong government are actually placed there by China. But at the end of the day, China says Hong Kong gets to kind of do their own thing, but they are watching them. It exists under what they call one nation, two systems. I don't understand how anybody ever thinks that's going to work. I mean, I guess it's kind of been working for almost 30 years at this point, but it just seems like China big brothering the whole situation, and it's kind of weird. So anyway, that's what's going on with Hong Kong. Meanwhile, Taiwan is officially called the Republic of China. Now, the country we refer to as China is officially the People's Republic of China. I'm not going to confuse everyone with those two. They're too similar. So I'm going to keep saying Taiwan, China. So Taiwan is out here. They claim they're an independent nation. China says Taiwan is not a country and is in fact part of China. China has always said this. They do not recognize Taiwan. They even threaten other nations that officially recognize Taiwan, such as, you know, making trade deals with them, this, that, and the other. If your country is doing that, China's going to come in and do something to you. Sanctions, whatever, because China's like, we're more powerful than them. We have all the people. We have all the money. Fuck you. We say they're not a country. That means they're not a country. China claims that they want to bring Taiwan back into the fold and let them still run as a semi-autonomous region, just like Hong Kong and Macau. Of course, Taiwan's like, why would we do that? We're our own nation. Fuck you. I'm sure you can kind of start to see where these issues are coming up. Hong Kong, of course, naturally, they can't charge Chan with murder because he didn't commit the murder in Hong Kong. You know, if I leave the States right now and go murder somebody in Canada and then come back home, the cops here in Illinois can't charge me with murder. They'd have to ship me to Canada. So that's the deal. Hong Kong can't do it. But Hong Kong also has no extradition treaty with Taiwan. Because remember, at the end of the day, Hong Kong is part of China. China says that Taiwan is also part of China. So Hong Kong cannot make any kind of deals with Taiwan because they can't recognize that Taiwan exists as a nation. They're like, we're all Chinese. Unless you say that, we can't help you because China's watching us and we're officially part of China. And, you know, they say you are too. China's kind of the big bully on the playground here. So Hong Kong can't really do anything in this situation because if they try to make a deal with Taiwan, that's going to jeopardize their status with China. China's going to come bulldozing in there going, yeah, fuck off. Hong Kong did want to do the right thing, supposedly. They did want to send him back to Taiwan. They're like, no, you murdered somebody. You're a piece of shit. Go back there, face the consequences of Why can't I say that word? Go back there, face the consequences, yay, of your actions. Hong Kong's like, you know what? We're going to make a new extradition bill that will allow us to look at suspects on a case-by-case basis and send them to countries we don't have an extradition treaty with. Well, this just sounds perfect, right? They can look at this case, go, oh, yep, this guy definitely needs to be sent back. Send Chen to Taiwan. He'll get charged with murder. This solves everything, right? Yeah, not so fast. This new bill not only included Taiwan, but it also included mainland China. That's right. If this bill had gone through, Hong Kong would have been able to send people to China. Now remember, Hong Kong runs their legal system similar to Britain, whereas China, mainland China, is a communist system. Hong Kongers were not about to let people be given over to a communist government that operates kind of secretively. Even people in China aren't always sure what China's doing. And China's been accused of human rights violations in a couple of instances. And Hong Kongers are like, you know, we're not just going to give people over to that. What are they going to do to them? Plus, the bill also had something in it about China could request that assets in Hong Kong be frozen. Hong Kong is a major financial system in the world. Like, it's one of the most traded currencies. They have one of the highest rates of billionaires, one of the highest rates of upper income level people. It's a very, I don't want to say rich nation or area because there's big income inequality there, but they do have a lot of very rich people. A lot of financial things are happening there. If China can come in and demand that some of these assets get frozen, that could severely damage Hong Kong's economy. Plus, like I said, you got the whole human rights violations that they're accused of. Hong Kongers were like, no, 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 no. So this proposed bill actually led to crazy protests in Hong Kong. I'm talking crazy, like hundreds of thousands of people in the streets protesting this. Couple numbers I saw said upwards of 1 million people were protesting. Other estimates were much lower. So I'm kind of going shooting in the middle. Hundreds of thousands of people out there protesting this shit because these people in Hong Kong, they're kind of scared of China, like mainland China. They don't want China to come in and take away their autonomy. They don't want China to be able to gain access to their people. You know, they're scared they're going to lose their autonomy or they're going to get a bad reputation for just handing people over to China. Like, they're not about this. A lot of these protesters were holding up signs saying, like, you know, not no to China, you know, don't send people to China. Basically, they were all anti-China. Nobody gives a shit if they send people to Taiwan, especially this asshole. They're like, yeah, no, he killed people. Let's go. And these protests got nasty. Like I said, hundreds of thousands of people, and they made international news. People actually died in these protests. There were international outrages. Police were accused of using excessive force. One thing I read said that when the legislator met to read the bill, like they came to blows and some of them had to be taken out on stretchers. Yeah, I mean, there was like tear gas. There was it was nasty. They got ugly. And of course, this makes China pissed because China did not allow that shit in the mainland. They're not about this. The person that proposed this bill in Hong Kong, Carrie Lam, actually snuck across the border to meet with the Chinese officials while this was going on because I think they really severely underestimated how much the people of Hong Kong would not want this. They thought, oh, well, you will use Poon Huiying's murder as justification for this, and everyone will just go, well, that makes sense, send a murderer away. But those Hong Kongers were smarter than that and were like, wait, wait, wait. So we could be shipped to China? No, 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 no. Meanwhile, during all the protests, the Hong Kong official, like I said, that Carrie Lam, kept saying, oh, you know, this is for Poon's murder. This is, you know, to send Chan back. That's all this is. They kept using her murder as justification. Well, Taiwan threw a monkey wrench into that when Taiwan came out and was like, you know, even if you pass this bill, we're not going to ask for Chan's extradition because we know this is a thinly veiled attempt for mainland China to gain access to our people. Because Taiwan's like, okay, so you send him to us. Next thing you know, we send somebody to you. And then how do we know you're not just going to give him to China? And I'm sure Taiwanese people are not treated the best in China since China says they're not a real country. I don't know. So then this is really rare for the Chinese government. They don't normally back down. They don't normally allow this kind of shit to go down. They actually took the bill off of the table because the protests were just getting so out of hand and ridiculous. Now, unfortunately, what that means is that Chan is just chilling in Hong Kong, just chilling there, not getting charged for murder, served like 18 months, just out living his fucking life. Now, he claims that he would like to surrender himself in Taiwan, but Taiwan won't grant him permission to travel. Taiwan wants to send some police to Hong Kong to get them themselves. But Hong Kong says they can't allow Taiwan police to come into their territory. It would, you know, hurt their sovereignty, but also, I feel like I'm sure China has a huge part of that because if Hong Kong was like, yeah, sure, come over here, get your guy, they're kind of recognizing Taiwan as that country and they're Chinese, so they can't do that. It's a whole thing. So basically, they're all just blaming each other. Poor Poon is never going to see justice at this point. And fucking Chan's just out there like, well, I'd love to go back, but they won't let me. Darn. Now, Poon's mother, again, we only know her as Mrs. Poon. She's never given her name, but she's come out and she has begged Taiwan to bring Chan to justice. Like I said before, her interviews are so heartbreaking. She's so sad. I mean, her daughter was horrifically murdered, and then she has to watch it get twisted into this political battle and protests, and it got way out of hand. And this poor lady, and I'm sure the whole family, is just like, we literally just want this guy in jail. He murdered her. He should be in jail. Not that complicated. Because she's even said, you know, she's not a political person. She doesn't understand why her daughter's murder has been turned into a political thing. She just wants justice. And that's what Poon deserves. So I know this is a complicated legal political situation, but I agree with her. It should not be this difficult to bring a confessed killer to justice. Like, you fucking confessed. You're like, yeah, I killed her. I did this, this, that, and the other. Like, I understand the whole politics and shit, but I'm like, just put his ass in jail. Fuck. Her mother even said, quote, this can never be solved and goes on forever, and it's really difficult for us. We brought up our daughter for 20 years, but this government just doesn't do anything and doesn't care about us. Like I said, can you even imagine? Like, it's one thing their daughter was horribly murdered. Like, I can't even fathom that pain, that heartache. Then the murderer confesses and you're like, okay, at least her killer will be brought to justice. But nope, there is no justice. And everyone in charge is just like, oh, well, it's not my fault. It's that guy's fault. Oh, no, it's their fault. And it's like, I don't know if you guys have ever seen that meme of the different Spider-Mans, I don't know. But there's like three of them. They're all just pointing at each other. I feel like that's what's going on here, except it's China, Hong Kong, Taiwan. They're all just pointing at each other going, you, you, you. And it fucking sucks because this poor girl was murdered and this has kind of gotten lost in the bigger political picture. And that's really sad. I just feel so bad for her mother. Like, in one video, she talked about how she's been on medication since the murder. She sees a therapist. She says she can't sleep. She said she can't even go to any of the places she used to go with her daughter. Like, they bring back too many memories. She can't do it. And that's so horrible. There's probably so many places this poor woman can't even go. And this murderous asshole is just out there living his life instead of rotting in a prison cell as he should be. And now, speaking of him, I think I kind of hinted at it a little earlier, but I don't even think this was like, oops, I killed her. I kind of think he planned this. And I don't believe him when he's like, Yeah, I'd love to go back to Taiwan and turn myself in. I don't believe him because it's so convenient for him to say that when he knows that it's not going to happen. He knows that. I feel like if suddenly Hong Kong and China were like, yeah, sure, go back, I think we might hear a different tune from him. Also, like I said, I really think that he kind of planned this. You know, he paid for everything, made sure she was there. And yeah, people around the world might not know all the nuances of the Taiwan, Hong Kong, China relationship, but someone who grew up in Hong Kong knows the local politics. So I really wonder if he planned to kill her in Taiwan because he knew he'd get away with it. To be clear, I have no knowledge of this. Don't quote me on that. I'm just speculating, and it kind of seems right to me. What I'm thinking, let me know what you're thinking. That'd be swell. Now, when he came out of jail, Chan did make a statement to the media. And honestly, I just want to punch him in the face. He just has one of those faces I look at and I'm like, ugh, I want to punch it. So anyway, he comes out like a dick and makes a statement to the media because of course he fucking did. And he said, quote, "For my impulse, for the wrongful act I've committed, I'm willing to surrender and go back to Taiwan to face prison sentence and face trial. To society and Hong Kong people, I can only say I'm sorry. I hope everyone can forgive me. I hope everyone can give me a chance to be a new person. Give me a chance to give back to society." To that I say, fuck you. Know who doesn't get to give back to society? Poon Hui Wing, because you murdered her. Also, impulsive act. Again, I do not think this was that impulsive. They were struggling on the floor for 10 minutes while he strangled her. At no point in that 10 minutes was he like, maybe I should stop. And then stuffed her body into a suitcase, went to sleep. Not one bit of that says impulsive to me. And then let's not forget that the next day he woke up and instead of being like, oh shit, what'd I do? He calmly took her body in a suitcase on a 40-minute subway ride. Doesn't seem sorry, does not seem impulsive. And if he was sorry or it was impulsive, why'd he keep withdrawing money from her account, And here's the big one for me. If he was really fucking sorry, he wouldn't have gone back to Hong Kong and resumed life like nothing was going on. He would have been like, I gotta turn myself in. Nope. I think this guy just wants to fucking pretend and play sorry because then he knows he won't ever actually have to face the consequences of his action. Meanwhile, Poon's poor friends and family just have to watch this get drawn out and use as a political pawn. Fucking sad. And that, unfortunately, is the end of the story for now. I'll keep an eye out, let you know if anything changes. Hopefully some places can get their shit together and this asshat can be brought to justice. But until then, he's just out there living his life, which super sucks. And I hate ending a case on a bummer. I like when we throw him in jail and we're like, ha ha ha, motherfucker. So I'm sorry about this bummer of an ending. I will try to make next week's case a bit more fun for you. So thanks for listening. Hope you enjoyed it. Don't forget to rate, review, subscribe wherever you get your podcasts. You can follow the podcast on Instagram. I will be posting pictures of Poon Hui Wing and her mother, as well as a picture of the murderer, even though he doesn't fucking deserve it. The Instagram is Have Murder Will Travel. You can find the podcast on Facebook. It's Have Murder Will Travel Podcast. You can always send me an email at havemurderwilltravel@gmail.com. Tune in next week to see where we go next. Until then, don't forget to explore the world and stay alive. Bye.